Chapter 16. Revealed Truth. In the third chapter of his letter to the Romans, Paul quotes from various psalms containing hermetic pronouncements. Paul wished to prove the same thing as we do, namely, that the good cannot be found in this world of the nature of death. He quotes, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seriously seeks for God. All have turned aside, and together they have gone wrong. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongue to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes." No doubt you know these quotations, but we assume you will see them in an entirely new light. You are familiar with sermons against dialectics. The pupil of the modern spiritual school will certainly not be shocked when the realities of the nature of death are expounded in the Bible, but when we point out the clear hermetic dividing lines and you determine your position with respect to them, you will most certainly feel shocked. The soul-born ones who have freed themselves in the light of the Gnosis are excepted from Paul's stern judgment. The third chapter of the letter to the Romans applies to all the others. They are not righteous. They do not understand. They do not seriously seek God. All have turned aside. They have gone wrong. They never do good. Their throats are open graves. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. They are full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. The way of peace they do not know, and the fear of God is not before their eyes. It could be that some readers, if they were obliged to refer all this to themselves, would consider it to be a piece of Pauline mudslinging, and certainly not words spoken to a well-bred assemblage. Imagine, the venom of asps under my lips. How did that man come to think of it? Paul means that under the tongue there are lymph glands that supply your mouth with saliva. Without this continuous moistening, we could not, for instance, speak. Did you know that the quality of the lymph totally conforms with your mentality, the passion of your will, and your emotions? That is why all too often saliva is like a deadly poison, and when you speak, laden with such poison, your words will be deeply injurious. Moreover, you yourself will be hurt the most, for such viperous poison under your lips has a strong etheric influence, and its vibrations penetrate, via the palate, the open space above the root of your nose, and create there an atmosphere in which everything but the golden wonder flower can thrive. Speaking of asp's venom under your lips, couldn't there be some truth in it which you should not dismiss just like that? Wouldn't it be of great importance to look at Paul's little list a bit more carefully? And with respect to self-knowledge, would it not be profitable for you to do so? Perhaps you think us sarcastic, sharp, mordant, but that is not the case at all. Only truth can make us free. Why should we not, in this so important period of time, consider the truth? If you were to take a brave look at Paul's analysis of nature-born man, you would discover that nearly everything he said concerns you too. It would be impossible to study the whole list in one chapter. It would take many chapters. So let us just consider the fact that you never do good. It is out of the question that you, as a nature-born person, could act in absolutely the right way. How many hours have you spent in the past weeks on disagreeing with your family, your colleagues, or your fellow workers in the school about what would be truly good in the interests of the school, work, or family? We have often explained that every individual has a very personal view of what is good. And according to your position in society, your character or situation, you either do what others think is good, or you force other people to meet your requirements. Of goodness, that is what you want, and that is how it happens in all the very simple and normal things in life. And many will often let things go with regard to what is decidedly and provably not good, purely for the sake of peace. However, things become more serious when something highly fundamental, that is, the truth itself, is concerned. Isn't it so that you often spoil and muddle the revealed truth, yes, even violate it seriously, on purpose, treacherously, By no means, but if the truth is not understood, one person will cross something out of it, another will add something, and a third will throw it in the wastepaper basket. One person, glowing with goodness, will defend the truth, while another, also glowing with goodness, will fight it, and a third will try to compromise. Did you know that such difficulties are the ones we have to deal with most in our practice of the work for and in the school? The school is hindered by evil and by goodness. Evil unmasks itself soon enough and is easily neutralized, but the activities of goodness are committed openly, and one cannot act against them as they were so obviously intended to be good. Do you understand how evil this so-called good is? That is why we recommend Paul's list in Romans 3. Allow us to conclude with a quotation from the Gospel of the Buddha. Men broke down under the burdens of life until the Savior appeared. And the Savior taught men the right use of the heart and the right application of reason. He taught men to see things as they are, without illusions, and they learned to act according to the truth. He taught righteousness, and thus changed rational creatures into human beings, just, kind-hearted, and faithful. And now at last a place was found where the truth might abide in all its glory, and this place is the heart of man. 0. Blessed One, thou hast revealed the truth, and the truth has appeared upon earth, and the kingdom of truth has been founded. But there is no room for truth in space, infinite though it he. There is no room for truth in sentiency, neither in its pleasures nor in its pains. Neither is there any room for truth in rationality. That through a seriously applied pupilship, these words may no longer be taken as spoken to you.